All right, good morning, men. You guys can find a chair, find a table. Any first-time guys that are here this morning, you're welcome to sit with Jesse and I at the first-timers table right over there. Fred, thank you for bringing the donuts in this morning. Chris and Don, always thank you for the coffee. Boy, we have a treat for you this morning. Mike Winslow in the house. House. Where's Winslow? Yeah. Anybody got an Ironman shirt on this morning? If you could stand up real quick. Don't feel bad if you don't, all right? Don't feel bad if you don't. But we have Mike Winslow to thank for all of those awesome shirts. So thank you, Mike. He came all the way over from Melbourne this morning to be our teaching fellow this morning. So Mike's got a very special story. If you guys don't know it, he gave us permission on the Ironman of God website. So later on, if you go onto the Ironman of God website, Mike may share some of that story this morning. I don't know. But if you go on the Ironman of God website and you hit about, and then you hear Ironman stories, I would encourage all of you guys to just watch Mike and Hadley's story on the Ironman of God website. Mike is a very special friend of mine, and I'm excited that you're going to be teaching. So this isn't your formal introduction, because we've got somebody that's really going to pump you up. All right, Jack, come over here and formally introduce our mutual friend, Mike Winslow.
All right, Mike at the mic. Guys, this is the end of our month together on suffering. It's been great, but I am excited. My grandmother used to say last is the best, and I truly believe you're in for that today with Mike Winslow. How would I describe Mike? I would say that Mike is a man of God, and I believe that's the highest compliment I can pay him. He's an amazing family man, a husband, and just a father to his kids. I've got to see his spiritual growth over these last few years and God at work in his heart and him responding to God. And the one very quick story I'll share with you is just this year, early in the summer, I'm scheduled to go to South Dakota on a mission trip to a one-year drug residential facility I go out every year and help administer to. And the guy who came with me canceled. He got sick, and it was about, I don't know, a week and a half to go before the trip, if I've got it right. And I got on my knees and I prayed, God, who do you want me to bring to South Dakota? And if there was nobody, I was prepared to go myself. Immediately, Mike Winslow came to mind. So I called Mike. Now, you know, Mike and I don't spend a lot of time together. We've had a couple of lunches, but I think we're knitted together at the heart, like Jonathan and David. And I called him. I said, Mike, I know this is crazy, but I'm going to South Dakota, you know, to minister for a week. Trip is paid for. Would you come and minister to suffering? This is a Christian organization. And he said, yes, I'm in. And I watched God use him mightily in South Dakota. He got to speak many times he didn't know about. This time he knows about. And he did an incredible, incredible job as he spoke and studied the word and shared the word, influenced these people in a dramatic and impactful way. So today, I believe the same thing is going to happen. So Mike, come on up. I want to pray for you and turn you loose. Let's pray, brother. Dear Lord, Father, we love you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for a man who has a heart after yours, Lord. A man who is willing to seek you with all his heart. A man who wants to hear the great and mighty things that you've promised you'll tell those who seek. So, Father, this morning, bless my brother. Holy Spirit, speak through him and open up the hearts of the men and brothers here today to receive this word that you have specifically for them. Lord, we love you and praise you. Continue to work blessings in my brother's life and all he does. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's all you, brother.
Wow. I feel like I'm at my funeral. This is crazy. Hopefully I can live up to all of that. I tell you what, this has been an amazing experience, as these always are. But this month has been just incredible. For going through a book, the book of Job, about suffering, it's been quite the enjoyable ride. And I can't, hey, Barry, I can't thank you enough for welcoming me back to the Pathfinders table. You know, living on the East Coast, it's a little hard to get to Connect Coffee, so I haven't been a regular here as of late, but that's gonna change. I mean, it's been fantastic to get reconnected, Barry, and hang out with the guys over there. It's been great to know you guys. The last 2 weeks have been fantastic. Looking forward to today, but I need this. I need this more. This is an amazing, incredible experience. I think I heard along the way, I know exactly where I heard it, Jack echoed, I think, the words of Chief Ogden, that it's not easy, but this is worth it. Looking forward to spending more time with you guys. So let's go ahead and I want to get started. First, if you guys could join me in a word of my own prayer, I appreciate that. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time together. I invite you in, I feel your presence, and I just pray that you can open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to whatever it is you have for us today. And then when we leave here, I just pray that we continue to hunger for you, so that we can draw closer than ever. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. And it's in your holy name, dear Jesus, we pray. Amen. So what an amazing month. We've had Dr. Charles Cooper. We've had a renowned author and a motivational speaker, Keith Gravelinger. We peaked last week. So forget about the introduction. You got me. First timers, you should have been here last week. So, but with that said, I'll say this. This is how amazing this group is. Pastor Andy Jones took the time as he was walking out the door last week. He stopped intentionally and said, "Hey, Mike, I've got some words of advice for you." And I was like, "Sweet, what is this, Andy?" He said, "The stage is set. Don't suck." Well, he set that bar. So I'm somewhere between motivational speaker, author, doctor, and don't suck. So we're right in there. So real quick, like I mentioned earlier, we're going through the book of Job. It's about suffering. And I think we've covered that pretty solidly. I mean, Dr. Charles Cooper kicked us off in late September. I love the way he framed the three reasons why we experience this type of suffering. It's we've got, you know, we live in a fallen world, the Adam and Eve sin. We've got discipline, which is consequences of our own sin. And then, of course, we have God's plan. That's the hardest one, I think, for us to deal with us because we just don't have answers for it in the moment. But he reminded us that we have rewards in heaven based on our faithfulness here. And the only way to get those rewards is by suffering. And I think that's a fantastic message. As difficult as it is to go through, it's worth it. We had Jack Levine kick us off in Connect. And I love the way Jack started because he just came out swinging saying, "Hey, God molds men through suffering." And he had some amazing stories about incredible individuals that have experienced their own suffering in their life to deep, deep levels of suffering and have impacted so many people for the kingdom of God. And one of them happens to be our own Chief Ogden. And I tell you what, men like that, I mean, Chief doing the whole got your six thing through Ironman and doing so much more throughout his career touched my own life. It is incredible to be able to hang out with men like that and men like you every week and be strengthened and motivated and learn from. Last week, we had Keith Graveldinger reminding us that iron sharpens iron. That's why we are here. We also help each other and we help others. We are charged with a task. We have a responsibility and obligation as we are in here and gaining all this. It's not just for us. It's for everybody else too. We need to share it. But I also too, I love the way he framed just the crucifixion. Probably one of the, I don't know, one of the deepest, darkest times I can think of ever. How Jesus was chased, beaten, and hung on a cross. And this horrible experience of suffering had to happen for all these good things to happen. If you think about that, the resurrection, we now refer to it as Good Friday. Only God can orchestrate those circumstances like that and call it Good Friday. So as you can see, we've hammered on suffering. So this morning, I'm going to go in a different direction. Keep you guys guessing. But I'm going to, if you guys could stand with me as I read the word. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. Him, of course, being Job. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. So I'm going down this road about Job's friends. They kind of get a bad rap. But if you notice, they only get a bad rap because they open their mouths. And I think that right there is a huge lesson. And what I love about this is that three things. One, and I don't know how they did it back in the day, but they kept in touch. They were aware of what was happening with Job, and they were connected enough to know that he was suffering and in great peril. The second thing they did, they intentionally got together. And as scripture and other translations put it, they made an appointment to go see Job. So they were destined to go see him, and they did it together. And of course, the third thing there is they spent time with him. And they just sat with him, mourned with him, cried with him, sympathized with him. They were just there. And this is very hard for us. You guys know this. It's hard to be able to sit in a situation and not have the answers and not be able to speak any words of wisdom and encouragement, but we've got to be comfortable with that. And I work with a lot of addicts and alcoholics in recovery. Some of the stories that they come at me with, they're overwhelming. And so what I have found in those moments when I'm hearing all of this come out, I'll say a silent prayer. Holy Spirit, please help me. If there are words to be said, give me those words. If there are no words, help help me be quiet and be comfortable being quiet. 100% of the time, that works. And I love it. It takes the burden off of me, and I can just sit and listen and hear most of the times, and it's beautiful. So the reason I chose to go down this path was Dr. Cooper, in September, when he opened up, he talked about a man by the name of Ken Smith. I did not know Ken Smith. He was original Iron Man. I wish I had gotten to know Ken Smith. I did have the privilege of going to his memorial service, and it was beautiful, and I heard wonderful things about Ken. But Dr. Cooper started off saying, as men, we should have had his back. Ken Smith was a gentleman that was very quick with his wit, always had a joke, but he was also very quick with prayer. I remember David sharing a story about an Iron Man. If something would come up they were struggling with, Ken would immediately just stop and say, hey, let's pray. And they'd pray about it. And now Dr. Cooper, now sadly, Ken fell ill, and that impacted his ability to communicate, and ultimately he ended up committing suicide. But Dr. Cooper went so far as to say that if Dr. Cooper had had this message he shared with us in September, and he had shared it with, if he had the opportunity to share it with Ken Smith, that maybe, just maybe, Ken may have had that glimmer of hope to keep him going. Now men, we have that message. In 2019, my wife Hadley and I, we were leading a marriage class. Tim Keller's book, The Meaning of Marriage, fantastic book. If you're married, go buy it. Read it. Read it with your wife every year at least. Anyways, there was a couple in there in our group, Ron and Lee. Ron was going through some stuff, and I came alongside him and walked with him, kind of went through some things and became friends. But as life would have it, we kind of drew apart. I'd introduced him to Iron Man. He'd come to Connect a few times. He came to coffee. His job kind of kept him from being, you know, consistent. But he came and he enjoyed it and he loved it. But like I said, times went on. We drifted apart. I moved to the coast. Didn't have any contact with him for a while. Got a text from him in August, just this past August. And he said, hey, Mike, it's been a long time. I'd like to get together. And if we could talk, I could fill you in on what's going on with my health. And I said, okay. Call him up. Ron, brother, what's going on, my man? A year ago, last October, Ron was diagnosed with throat cancer. He went on to explain to me that in January, February, and March, he went through chemotherapy. At the end of that, he had some tests that were run and said that the chemotherapy didn't have any impact on his throat cancer. So he was then describing that he had three choices. He could do chemotherapy again, which he said, Mike, it was brutal. I went in on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for treatment. Thursday and Friday, I felt like hell. Saturday, I felt a little better physically. Sunday was the best day, except mentally, I was miserable because I knew I had to go back and do it again on Monday. He goes, I'm not doing that again. That's hard to hear. Second option was throat surgery. They would have to take out a piece of his throat. And if they once they do that, he would lose the ability to speak, so he'd have a voice box, and he would lose the ability to swallow, so he'd have a feeding tube. And he said, Mike, I can't do that. I want to spend the rest of my days living in dignity. That's not going to happen. He said, so I'm just going to let this ride until I die. My friend Ron reached out to me to tell me that. This is over the telephone. I was not connected. How hard is it? I didn't have the opportunity to make an appointment and spend time with him as he went through chemotherapy and as he struggled with that next decision and as he struggled in how he was going to spend the rest of his days and what he's going to do with his family. That was then. I did make an appointment with Ron, said, all right, buddy, let's reconnect. I'm very sorry for what had happened. I cannot describe, gentlemen, just the feelings that I had. I'm not even quite too sure what I shared with Ron, but I did let him know I was sorry for his health. And of course, I'm sorry that I failed as a friend. And Ron's a gracious man. He said, Mike, that is okay. He goes, I get it. You're a friend. So we made a commitment to get together and see Charles Cooper at Ironman. We'd gone back and forth on texts. It was hard to get with him personally and physically, just because he didn't have a lot of energy. But 2 weeks before Dr. Cooper was to speak, I texted him and said, hey, Ron, I'm coming over tomorrow. We're going to figure out the logistics and get you to Iron Man Coffee. I got a text back from his wife that said Ron had entered hospice. 2 days later, Ron passed. Again, gentlemen, I really feel like I failed a friend. It doesn't stop there because I've learned a ton and I'm here to share with you. We have something so amazing in this group. We are learning so much from one another, and I know for a fact that each and every one of you are getting connected here at these tables. I've witnessed it at our own table. I've seen it at these other tables, and I applaud you for that. I know how much you guys have poured into me. I know how much better my life is. I know how much more solid my marriage is, and I do know how to be a good friend. From this experience, I have learned now that I have needed to reach out to guys that have fallen off my radar to connect. I have been intentional about getting connected again and making time to spend time together, because I want to make sure when this happens again, I am there for my friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born out of times of adversity. I have also learned during my day in recovery, we talk about when, in order for me to keep myself in recovery, I've got to give it away. The gospel, in order for me to continue to live and love as the gospel instructs me to, I need to give it away. I need to be putting myself more in front of people so I have those opportunities to make friends, stay connected with friends, and share with my friends all the love that Jesus Christ has for us. Ministry moves at the speed of relationship. Well, I can't do that if I'm not connected. I can't do that if I'm not getting together with my friends. Well, I can't do that if I am not a brother ready, prepared to be there in adversity. So I stand before you gentlemen today. Like I said, you're going to see a lot more of me, and I challenge all of you to continue to do what you're doing. For the first timers that are here, you are in the best place you could ever be. I encourage you and I challenge you, tap on any shoulder in this room and say, hey, can we grab coffee? Can we grab dinner? Can we grab lunch, breakfast? Maybe some of the guys, hey, let's go work out, but most of them maybe not, but whatever. To a man, they're gonna say, yes, let's do it. Get your calendar out and let's roll. God bless you, brothers. I thank you so much for allowing me to share. Have a great day.
Appreciate you so much, Mike. Guys, we're going to spend the rest of the morning at our tables. Table captains, I sent the questions out for Mike last night. So I'm going to hand the floor over to you guys.